Amen. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Maddie, for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's Word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. There was once a kid, let's call him Timmy, and he had this obsession that can only be described as Spider-Man mania. He was all about Spider-Man. And it wasn't just that he liked this cartoon, he adored Spider-Man. So everything in his life kind of revolved around that. He had the shirts. He had the action figures. He even tried to convince his mom to paint his room bright Spider-Man red, which obviously would have decreased their home value over time. And so come Christmas, at Christmas time, he decided he was going to pour his heart out into a letter to Santa. And in this letter, he asked Santa for every single Spider-Man product that ever existed. And in his mind, he was preparing to fully transform into the ultimate Spider-Man fan, which included a big Spider-Man tattoo on his back, if parental consent were not an issue. So he writes this letter to Santa, and he is confident that he is going to receive exactly what he wants. Christmas morning arrives, and he begins opening his presents, one, and then the next, and then the next, and there's something wrong because he's not seeing the Spider-Man presents that he wanted. But then he sees the box. It was a big box, and he knew that was the one. And so he grabs it, and with all the energy of a sugar-fueled tornado, he rips open that package and finds inside of it socks. Plain white socks. Not even Spider-Man socks. And he was absolutely devastated by this. But in that depressing moment for him, Timmy learned a valuable lesson that while he adored Spider-Man, not everyone else, especially not his parents, adore Spider-Man. Right now, there are millions of kids all over the world that are adoring certain characters. Could be Spider-Man, could be Barbie, could be Cocomelon. Right? And if you don't know who Cocomelon is, just consider yourself blessed. It's like Baby Shark's chaotic cousin. And maybe you're thinking, Sean, Cocomelon, Baby Shark, what are you even, are you okay this morning? Yeah, they're characters, it's a whole thing. But there are kids who are obsessed with these. And for some kids, the Christmas season revolves around their adoration for these characters. We're not just in the Christmas season, we are in the Advent season. And Advent is when we look to the coming of Jesus, both his first coming at Christmas and his second coming in the future. And what we are doing for the next few weeks is we are looking at these Bible passages, these Bible verses that are the foundation for songs that we sing, Christmas songs that we know and love. So this week we are looking at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 9 through 11. Which are the basis for this song that we just sang, O Come, All Ye Faithful. And as we study this passage, we'll see why we should come adore Christ. We're going to see three reasons to adore Christ this morning. So let's look at the first one. Come adore Christ because, number one, He is King. He is King. When I was really young, I used to think that my teachers were like royalty. You know, I felt like my teacher, that it was, I usually had a woman teacher, I thought that she was like a queen because whatever she said happened in the classroom, right? So if the teacher said, Sean, take the straw out of your nose, it's not going to help you smell things better, well, then the straw had to come out. And I mean, I went to school with a lot of Seans, that's not necessarily me. You know, what she said is what happened in the classroom. She controlled it. So I really respected her. I really looked up to her. I really thought she was something special. I revered her. And then, this one time, I saw one of my teachers out in the wild. Like, it was like in Kmart or Food World, or if you're from this area, there was this place called Del Champs. I think that's where it was. It was a grocery store or something like that. And when I saw her, I realized she was pushing a buggy, and she was getting groceries just like my family was. She was having to buy food just like us common folk have to do. And I'll never forget that because in that moment, something switched in my mind. Suddenly, this teacher was not a queen. Suddenly, she was just like me. And so my respect for her kind of fell a little bit. And then eventually, I had my own children, my wild, wild children, and my respect skyrocketed for teachers because they have to deal with these kids every day. But I will never forget that moment where I saw my teacher in a store, and she went from royalty in my mind, a queen in my mind, down to just a regular person who was like me. So look with me at Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." Jesus is referred to by these wise men as the king of the Jews. Well, how do they know that? Why do they call him that? Well, they say, "For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." So these wise men have seen this star up in the sky, and this star was apparently special. This star is what led them to Jesus. Now, we aren't told exactly how they knew this was going to lead them to Jesus. We aren't told exactly what made this star special, but it is special. And they know that it means something. And the reason that this star means something is because God made it mean something in their minds. The reason this star is special is because God made it special. Maybe it was brighter than all of the other stars. We don't know. But we know it was special because God made it special. And that special star guided them to Jesus. But when they get to Jesus, this is really interesting. It says that they worship him. They worship Jesus. Now, what's interesting about that is these wise men are not Jewish. All right? They're not. They're from somewhere else. But they're worshiping him. And also, the Jews did not worship their king. They just acknowledged him as kind of a regular person that God had special grace on and made the king. But they worship Jesus when they get there. You know why? Because they worship him not as the king of the Jews. They worship him as king of everything. That's what's being told in this story here, is that you have non-Jewish people coming to worship Jesus because he is not just the king of the Jews, he is king of everything. He is even the king of the stars. They recognize that. He is the one who guides all things in the universe. So they worship him as king. They adore him because Christ is king. Now, sometimes I think we really struggle to understand what the Bible means when it says Christ is king. And the reason I think we struggle with that is because we don't live in a country that has a king or has had a king since we were founded as a country. In fact, our Constitution is written in such a way that we can't have a king. America is very anti-king. So whenever we read that Jesus is king, I'm not sure we feel what that really means. We kind of shrug off any king as a regular person who happens to be in that position. We kind of think of kings as I thought of my teacher after I saw her at the grocery store, just a regular person like me. So we don't respect the kingship the way that we should. King is just another normal person to us. But here is the heart of this statement. Christ is king. Jesus is in control of everything. He is not just the king of a country, he is the king of the universe. He is the king of the stars. He is not just another normal person that happens to be in the role of king. No, Jesus is in charge of everything. He is king of all. Just let that sink in for a second. Jesus is king of all. He is over everything. He is king over every country, every ruler, every president. He is king over cancer and dementia and loneliness and addiction. He is king over war and poverty and earthquakes and oppression and broken relationships, unemployment, floods, anxiety, fear, corruption, betrayal, violence, doubt, unbelief, time, death, He is king over all of that. He is king over everything. But I know what it's like. I know that when you go through certain things in life, it might not feel like Jesus is king. When something bad happens, it doesn't feel like Jesus is king. When things go wrong in the world, it doesn't feel like Jesus is king. When sickness strikes again, when your spouse is unfaithful, when your investments fail, when you lose your job, when something happens to your child, it may not feel like Jesus is king over everything, but he is. Christ is king. And one day, King Jesus will come back. He will return to put an end to every sad thing and every bad thing. We look forward to his coming. He will come again. And in our waiting, we need to recognize that he is king. And we need to adore him for it. So we sing to each other, "Oh, come, let us adore him." We remind each other, we encourage each other to adore Christ because he is king. So that's the first reason to adore Christ, because he is king. But it's not the only reason that we learn from this story. Come adore Christ, number two, because he is Lord. He is Lord. The story of the wise men doesn't end with them recognizing Jesus as king of the Jews and Jesus as king of everything. No, it keeps going. So look with me at Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. After hearing the king, that's talking about King Herod. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling on their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, we don't exactly know who these wise men were. It seems like they were ancient astronomers, like people who watched the stars, and they believed that what was happening in the stars was reflective of what was happening on Earth. It says that they came from the east. That doesn't mean that they came from Panama City or Tallahassee or Jacksonville, right? It means that they came from probably ancient Babylon or Persia. So think of like modern day Iraq. That's probably where they were from. What they would do is they would probably combine these charts of stars with ancient prophecies, because they believed that all kinds of prophecies could be true. It doesn't matter what religion they came from. So one of the prophecies they probably knew about was from the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible. It comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17. This is what it said. A star will come from Jacob, and a scepter will arise from Israel. Now to them, Jacob was Israel. That's the same thing to them. And this prophecy pointed to a star that would mark the arrival of a king who would rule from Israel. Right? Now I know what you're thinking. Sean, that's a great history lesson, but what does this have to do with Christmas? What does this have to do with me? Like what you're saying right now feels about as Christmassy as Die Hard, which is not a Christmas movie. Just deal with that. So what does this have to do with any? Well, here's the connection. The wise men believed Jesus controlled the stars. They believed that he was king over everything. And they didn't just think, okay, that's really cool that Jesus is king of everything. Now let's just head back home. You know, what do you want to get for dinner? That wasn't what happened. No, their belief moved them to action. They left their lives behind to seek Jesus, the king. And this was important because this trip wasn't easy. It was dangerous. They didn't know what lay ahead of them. And it was expensive because they couldn't just, you know, book a cheap flight on Allegiant, or they couldn't get a hotel room with the bonus points that they have on their credit card. And this was a long trip. It wasn't like a 45-minute plane ride or a 2-hour car ride. And it was costly. They probably missed work to do this, and they definitely missed family time to do this. But they made that journey. You know why? Because they believed that if Jesus is king of the universe, he should also be Lord of their lives. Jesus was king of the universe, he should also be Lord of their lives. Lord means master. It's the one who is in charge of your life. If Jesus was in control of the stars, shouldn't he be in control of their lives too? Doesn't that just make sense? So they came to adore Christ because he is Lord. Here's the question for you. If Jesus is in control of the stars, shouldn't he be in control of your life? Shouldn't he? Doesn't it just make sense? The star hanging over him showed that he was in control of everything. If that is true, if he is king of everything, if he controls all things, then shouldn't he also control your life? Shouldn't he have the right to tell you what you should and shouldn't do? Shouldn't you recognize him as the one who is in charge? Well, makes sense to me. I think that makes sense to you. Shouldn't he be Lord of your life? And then shouldn't you adore him because he is Lord? If you're feeling down, maybe if you have some low self-esteem this season, there is a gift that I believe can really pick you up, can make you feel better about yourself. This one gift has this sort of magical power, you could say, to lift your spirits in the midst of even the worst thing. I'm talking, of course, about a dog. Now, this might also be true of cats. I've never owned one. But I think that a dog can really make you feel better about yourself. This is why I think it is a great present. Because when you have a dog, you are its master, right? You're the one who determines when it is going to eat, what it is going to eat, when it goes outside, when it stays inside. You are the one who decides what toys it will have, or you at least own the shoes that it takes to be its toys. You are its master. And most dogs that I have seen adore their master. That's why I think it would be a great gift, because if you have a dog and you leave the house for like 15 minutes and you come back, that dog's life is just absolutely changed when you walk through the door. It starts wagging its tail. It starts running around in excitement. It is so pumped to see you. It's like the greatest thing on earth. And that'll really make you feel good about yourself. Because if no one else appreciates you, you know that this dog does. The dog adores you, and it adores you because you are its master. So in order to put my belief into action, we have promised every kid in our kids' ministry a puppy from their parents for Christmas, so you are welcome. Friend, we should adore Christ more than a dog adores its owner. Because Christ is Lord. He is master. He created us. He saved us. Now we should respond by adoring him. Do you adore him today? Have you noticed how the Christmas season just seems to be getting longer and longer? Now, when I was young, the Christmas season was like a solid month. You had the day after Thanksgiving to Christmas Day, and then like if you were really extreme, it might go to New Year's Day. But now it's completely different. Now it starts sometime in August, according to Walmart, and then peaks around Black Friday, and it doesn't even end until your neighbor takes their Christmas lights down sometime in mid-February, right? Well, you would think, because it has gotten so much longer, that there would be extra time to help us focus on what Christmas is really about, to help us focus on Jesus, on Christ, on the whole reason for the season. But is that the way it's worked out? No. No, instead it feels like it's a marathon to attend every Christmas party and watch every Christmas movie and observe every family Christmas tradition, like cooking 17 cookies that you don't even like. It feels like you have to do all of these things. It's supposed to be the season where we can focus on Jesus, but it has become the season where we can't focus on anything because we are so busy. The truth is, instead of making room for Jesus, feels like we have squeezed him out with all of our plans and all of our busyness. So here's the invitation for you today. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Are you adoring Christ? In the middle of all that's going on this season, just adore Christ because he is Lord. He is master of your life and he calls you to adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him because he is Lord. That's the second reason to adore Christ. And then there is a third reason that we see in this story. Oh, come, adore him because number three, he is worthy. He is worthy. If what we have seen about Jesus is true, if he really is king and he really is Lord, then that should mean something. It means that he is worthy of our adoration. And even the wise men got this, and they were pagan. They didn't even believe in the God of the Bible. But what did they do? They fell down in worship, and they presented him gifts, really nice, expensive gifts. Now, speaking of expensive gifts, it's the time of year where we are bombarded with those commercials. Now, you know the ones I'm talking about. The one where someone buys their spouse a $90,000 car and puts a bow the size of a trampoline on top. I'm sure you've seen them, and we all have the same idea when we see those commercials. Who is buying a car for their spouse on Christmas? Now, number one, it's a car. That's a really big gift. Number two, it's that car, that expensive car. Number three, where do you even find a bow that big? Like, I've looked at Hobby Lobby. They don't have that. We have that thought when we watch it, and that's kind of the point of the commercial. It's like the people who make those commercials are saying, hey, go big. Show your spouse they're worth it. Yeah, sure, it might be over the top. Sure, you might not have groceries for 4 years, but isn't your spouse worth it? And that's what they're trying to get you to think. Because here's the thing, you wouldn't just drop that kind of cash on anyone. It means something when you buy a gift like that. It says something. It says, you are special. It says, you are worthy of this. The wise men come to Bethlehem, where the star has led them. And when they get there, they go to the house of Joseph and Mary. And they see little Jesus there. Now imagine they get there, and they just want to talk to Joseph and Mary about their families. You know, they want to know, okay, Mary, what is your bloodline? Like, how far back does it go? And then Joseph, what's your bloodline? They want to figure out if either side has any connection to the royal family. Because if it did, then maybe Jesus could be king of the Jews. You know, maybe they just want to do a little 23andMe DNA test to really figure out if Jesus is king. Well, you can imagine that they would want to do something like that. But is that what they do? No. We hear about what they do when they get to the house in chapter 2, verse 11. Look at it with me. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. They worshiped little Jesus. You see, they didn't come to study Jesus. They came to worship Jesus. It's not about figuring out all the details. It's about worshiping him. Now, I know worship is a very churchy word. Sometimes we use it and we don't really think about what it means. But in English, that word worship was the combination of two words. It was worth-ship. And it was this idea that something is worthy of your praise, worthy of your attention, worthy of your adoration. When they fall down and worship Jesus, they are showing that Jesus is worthy. They worship, they adore Christ because he is worthy. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with them falling on their knees. Look at the last part of verse 11. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So these are very precious gifts that they give Jesus. Now you know gold. Gold's a very precious metal. It's very expensive. Frankincense was this really good smelling stuff that came from certain trees, and it was considered so precious in some places that only the holiest, only the purest people could even touch the trees that this stuff came from. And then myrrh was kind of like frankincense. It was very, very valuable. So these wise men bring three very expensive items to young Jesus. Why? Why would they do that? You know, do you think Jesus is going, hey, that's exactly what I wanted for my birthday? Do you think that's what's going on? No, the reason that they bring this to him is because they are saying, you are worthy of these gifts. You are worthy of gold. You are worthy of frankincense. You are worthy of myrrh. If it was in today's world, they would say, and you are more than worthy of that $90,000 car with the big bow on it. Jesus is worthy of every costly gift. So they adore him with their gifts because Christ is worthy. This Christmas, you are probably going to get gifts for someone that you are close to. You might even be getting a car for someone. By the way, I need to get with you the details, my address and all that. We'll get it later. You might be doing that. These people are worthy of these gifts because of who they are to you. But no matter who that person is, no matter how special they are to you, they are not king and they are not Lord. Only Jesus is. Jesus is worthy of every gift that we could possibly give. So we need to adore him this Advent season. Adore him with all that we are and all that we have. That's what you need to be doing. That's what I need to be doing. Adore him with your time, with your wealth, with your energy, with your talents, with your effort, with your words, with your worship, your attention, your gratitude, your obedience, your devotion. The wise men, when they come to worship, they don't just worship him with their words. They don't just say he is worthy. They respond with this worship. They fall on their knees. They give him valuable gifts. They have this active adoration for Jesus. Let's follow their example by adoring Christ with all that we are and all that we have because he is worthy. Oh, come, let us adore him because he is worthy. That's the third reason we should adore Christ. So this Advent season, this Christmas season, above everything else, adore Christ. Adore Christ because he is King, he is Lord, and he is worthy. These are three reasons to adore him, not just at Christmas time, not just during Advent, but all the time. However, if we were to end it there, it wouldn't be enough. Yes, these are good reasons that we should adore him, and we definitely should respond to these, but you can hear all of these reasons, and it doesn't move your heart towards Christ. We have another reason to adore him that actually changes our hearts, and it is this: adore Christ because he is your Savior. Adore Christ because he is your Savior. You, just like me, were created by God to know him and enjoy him forever. But we rebelled against him. We betrayed him by sinning against him, by living for ourselves instead of for him. And for that, we deserve the wrath of God. But out of love for us, he sent his son, Jesus, to live the perfect life we should have lived. And then die a sacrificial death in our place. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be saved from the judgment that we deserve for our sin. If we have faith in him, we are forgiven and we are saved. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose up from the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit. He ascended back into heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to live in us so that we would constantly experience the salvation and the presence of God. And one day, Jesus promised that he will come back to set all things right, to remake the world so that it is perfect. And those who have faith in Jesus will enjoy that perfect world with him forever. That's what we are looking forward to this Advent season. So friend, do you see that Christ is your Savior? Do you see what he has done to save you from the judgment you deserve? And doesn't that make you want to adore him? Come adore Christ because he is your Savior. Let me ask you today, is Jesus your Savior? If you've never trusted in him for the forgiveness of your sin, then the answer to that is no, he is not your Savior. But he can be. There is nothing that can save you from your sin. There is no good work that you can do to make up for your sin. Instead, come to God right now and say, I know I am a sinner. I know I have done wrong. Forgive me based on who Jesus is and what he has done for my forgiveness. And if you believe that in your heart, your sins will be forgiven and you will be saved from the judgment your sin deserves. Maybe you know I'm talking to you today. Maybe you can feel the Lord pulling at your heart. If that's true, don't resist it. Trust in Jesus now and receive forgiveness. Maybe you have questions about it. Maybe you want someone to talk with you about it or guide you in trusting in Jesus. If that's the case, I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song. I'm going to be waiting for you. Come down as everybody else is singing. Let's talk about what it means to trust in Jesus. And after the service, I'm going to be waiting right down here, waiting to talk with you. Do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus and receiving forgiveness in him. Christian, through this busy Christmas season, calm your heart, calm your mind, and adore Jesus. Here's how you can do it. Take time every day to just pause, read the Word of God, what it says about our Savior, and then respond by praying to him. Respond by reciting those things that are true about him, by praising him for how wonderful and great he is. So that's my challenge to you this season. Every day, take time to stop, spend time with Jesus, and adore him for who he is. Let's be people who adore Jesus this Christmas season. Let's not just go along with all of the plans that we have. Let's remember Christ and let us adore him. So I'm going to pray, and then we are going to respond by singing praises to him. We are going to respond by adoring him together through song. So as we do, commit in your heart to adoring Christ above everything else this season. Would you pray with me?